The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Jesus talks about putting a patch of new cloth on an old garment. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, he says. If he does, the patch tears away from it, and a worse tear is made. Now that describes me perfectly. This. And so much that I do on the campus and around the church is a new patch on my old Adam. I don't know how it came about that I discovered this, but in here, wait a minute, get the patchwork off. In here is the most impure, inwardly sinful person on the face of the earth. If the National Enquirer could get in here, wow, what an issue that would be. It would go off the racks like hotcakes. Seminary professor revealed to be despicable hypocrite. My impurity and the sins that brood in here are like what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Now, whether this applies to you or not, that's up to you to decide. I can't look into your heart. I can only try to peer into mine. I'll tell you, there's something else that I have found over the years, and more realize it now. The seminary and the church teaches us how to hide it. We are in a seminary and church system where we can easily be deceived into thinking we can get away with putting gospel patches on the old Adam. And so we buy our vestments, we buy our collars. We tell people that we are seminarians, professors. We nobly tell them that we are going to give our lives in service to people and to the church. And all the while, the devil can be deceiving us into thinking we can game the system. Now, I don't know if this applies to you. You have to decide that for yourself. I can't look into your heart, but I can peer into mine, and I know that I am often deceived into thinking, yeah, I can put these new patches on my old Adam. So Jesus talks about the patch after some people had asked him why his disciples weren't fasting when the disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. And Jesus says to them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot fast. When the day comes and the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in that day. Now the bridegroom has removed his visible presence from you and from me. And so the times of our lives are not times to be complacently fasting, but rather the times of your life and mine complacently feasting. I said that wrong. The times, back this up. Let's make sure that we get it right. Otherwise, the sermon goes down and you go home and think, I am so self-righteous, I got this patch put on me. Let's try this again. Bridegroom has removed his presence from us, visible presence from us. And so the days of your life and mine are not to be spent in complacent feasting, but rather the times of our life are to be spent in watchful fasting. That means discipline, spiritual lives, as you and I anticipate the return of the bridegroom who is going to come and take us to the eternal heavenly feast. To quote St. Paul again, put off the old self and put on the new man, created in the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. Enmeshed in the system of seminary and church as we are, it's either going to be that the devil uses the system to tempt us into thinking that our old Adam is compatible with the gospel, or else you and I pray the Holy Spirit of God to guide us in the discipline that will result by His grace in us putting on the new man, clothing ourselves with the righteousness and the holiness that we are called to in our baptism. Clothed with a new man. Now, how do we do this discipline? For me, I can think of almost nothing more important to discipline myself than the habit of attending chapel every day when I am on campus. Now, I'll tell you, yesterday we got sprinkled with water. I didn't grow up with that. Some days we have incense. I didn't grow up with that. And I'll tell you, be very careful if you want to introduce that to the congregation to which you will be called. I didn't grow up with white robes. All Missouri Synod pastors wore black when I was a kid. I didn't grow up with the exchange of keys. Little strange to me, although I'm getting used to it. I didn't grow up with a contemporary, contextual music. Whoa, that's loud. But I'll tell you what, I am not going to absent myself from the discipline of regularly being in chapel. For one reason, I'm scared that I could get deceived off into some piety that I have constructed in my own head and out of my own past. When it comes to these new things, for me at least in chapel, you know, it's pretty hard to teach an old dog new ecclesiastical tricks. But when they happen, and I'm thankful that they do happen, it leads me to realize that there is a war within. And these different practices that I may or may not like give me an occasion to remember that I have in here a rebellious old Adam who has to be disciplined. And what happens in chapel is a big part of my wrestling with this old Adam by the power of the Spirit to subdue him so that the new man can come forth. The regular attendance at chapel tells me at least that I can identify with the man who said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." I can identify with St. Paul who said, "I am the chief of sinners." Because I can't look into your heart, I can peer into mine, and I am the chief of sinners. When I was a student here, got here in 1969, I had a systematics class with Dr. Arthur Carl Peepcorn. And Dr. Peepcorn was asked one day, I remember this so clearly, he was asked about synergism. And he said that in justification, there is no synergism. But then he said, quote, "When it comes to sanctification, there had jolly well better be synergism." The disciplining with the power that God gives to put the old Adam down. You just can't put a patch on the old Adam and expect to get away with it. So, we put on the new man, created in the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Amen.